Welcome to the TaxCast, 15 minutes of eye-opening global news and analysis on tax havens and corruption services from the Tax Justice Network, with me, Naomi Fowler. The TaxCast is available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com. Welcome to 2013. So did the US fall off the fiscal cliff, or was disaster averted by a tax deal in the interests of citizens? Finance specialist and writer Jeffrey Robinson.
We're really back at square one. The Democrats, the Republicans, the whole thing was a manufactured own goal by both parties because they created this fiscal cliff. But that's the nature of Washington today. Basically, the congressional process is broken. And the fiscal cliff is indicative of what's going to come in 3 months' time and 6 months' time and 9 months' time when we revisit things like the debt ceiling and the various aspects of the fiscal cliff. What you saw if you watched the inaugural speech was the president going over the heads of the Republican-led House of Representatives, going right to the people saying, we're going to continue this fight. We're going to take it to you, and it's really up to you to now turn to your representatives in Congress and say, get moving on this. The shot across the bow to the Republicans on issues like tax, saying, if you won't talk to us, I'll talk to the American people, and I will move them, and they will move you. So you better get on board.
The French government's planning to tackle companies like Facebook and Google head-on. They want to pass a new law on the way businesses like theirs are taxed by the end of the year. We'll be keeping an eye on that one on the TaxCast. And another thing we'll be watching. In Europe, a financial transaction tax on interbank trading in shares, bonds and derivatives will come into force in 2014. Late last year, the European Union's Parliament voted overwhelmingly in favour. Now European finance ministers have approved it. The tax should raise an estimated 37 billion euros a year. In Mozambique, huge profits have been generated from an aluminium smelting business foreign governments have helped it build. That's great news, isn't it? Well, no, actually. A new report estimates for every $1 the Mozambique government's got from the smelter, $21 has been earned in profit or interest by external investors and governments. And it gets worse. Tim Jones of Jubilee Debt Campaign.
It's been exempt from all taxes except a very small 1% turnover tax. Now, this is even more scandalous because half of the costs of building the smelter came from public bodies around the world, like the UK government, the World Bank and the European Investment Bank. And they supported this smelter knowing it was going to create huge profits for the companies involved and very little for the people of Mozambique. They should be handing some of that money back to the Mozambique people.
He's calling for the whole deal, including a 50-year tax break, to be renegotiated. There's a new film out about the City of London, the corporation that runs it, and its role in the economic crisis. It's called Secret City. For details, go to www.secretcity-thefilm.com. That's the roundup for this month. Now we're going to talk to tax justice economist Richard Murphy for his take on events. Okay, this month, Richard, there's been a very interesting ruling in Spain by the Spanish Supreme Court in terms of Dell and what it does with tax.
There has, and it's not been noticed anywhere else in the world, it seems. I mean, Dell, another US IT giant, was shipping goods from Ireland to Spain and claiming that the operation that it had in Spain wasn't what is technically called a permanent establishment, so it couldn't be taxed on the profits on the shipment of those goods from Ireland to Spain. It was merely acting as a commission agent, and therefore the amount of profit subject to tax in Spain was, well, tiny at best. Now, have we heard this story before? Yes, of course we have. We've heard it with regard to Google, we've heard it with regard to Amazon, and we've heard it with regard to a host of other companies. So after a long legal process, Spain has said Dell is taxable in Spain. Its operation there, selling Dell computers, even if they were imported from Ireland, which actually, as a matter of fact, is, I think, entirely true, was itself taxable upon the profit of the sale of those computers. Now, of course, that means they'll have to agree the right split of the profit between Spain and Ireland. This then becomes a transfer pricing case, but it means that the arguments put forward by Google and Amazon in particular in the UK, that their UK operations are just sales agents, is fundamentally undermined by this Spanish case. Because it's the same fundamental tax law, it's the same OECD rules, and it's even relating to the same identical type of structure. So there is a precedent now in European law, which is something that tax authorities throughout Europe will have to look at and make a decision on, because this could let them challenge these companies in a way that previously has not been possible. I think this is a really, really important case, and I think the opportunities are significant.
Okay, some big implications for some of the usual suspects that we report on in the TaxCast. Let's talk about Switzerland, because the EU tax commissioner is threatening them to take 6 months to get its house in order, or it might be blacklisted. What kind of a threat is this? Is it real? Is it going to actually change the banking secrecy that's central to the Swiss economy?
What we have here is another of our regular villains, Switzerland, being subject to yet another threat from the EU. We have to take this one more seriously than some we have heard in the past. We've talked in the TaxCast in the last few months about the impact of FATCA. That's the United States Foreign Accounts Tax Compliance Act, which requires just about every country on earth to agree to automatically exchange information with the USA on the income of US resident people living in other countries. Now, the important point here is Switzerland has agreed to do this with the USA, but so too have Austria and Luxembourg. Now, progress of the new European Savings Tax Directive, which would radically extend that directive away from just the interest paid on bank accounts to individuals to a much wider range of income, including, for example, pensions and proceeds of life insurance policies and some dividends and some capital gains. And, you know, this is really a massive extension. And extend it from individuals to trusts and companies and other forms of complex arrangement that accountants and lawyers think up. That extension of the European Savings Tax Directive is almost certainly going to happen because it's no longer possible for Luxembourg and Austria to block it. If that's the case, the defence that has been in place from Switzerland, which is, well, because you aren't doing this automatic information exchange inside the rest of Europe, we don't have to comply. When Austria and Luxembourg do, we'll consider it, has fallen away. They've always used that defence. It's gone. So the hand of the European Union in negotiating with Switzerland has suddenly become much stronger, because Europe will, I think, before 2013 is out, be united on this issue. And that means something that's been talked about for a long time, in fact, since the London G20 summit in April 2009, which is the imposition of sanctions on tax havens who will not exchange information, is suddenly looking as though it might become a reality in the case of Switzerland. Now, what are those sanctions? Well, for example, withholding tax on the interest paid into Switzerland, withholding tax on dividends paid into Switzerland, withholding tax from royalties paid into Switzerland. Now, this is really important stuff, because lots of dividends are routed through Switzerland because it sets up favourable structures for them. Lots of royalties are routed through there. Starbucks, we know, has done that. Now, if all of those things suddenly become taxed at source because Europe decides to declare economic warfare in effect on Switzerland, because Switzerland will not give the information to tackle tax evasion, which Europe thinks it should provide, then we are suddenly into a situation where we can really sanction Switzerland and begin to knock over its historic and incredibly dangerous banking secrecy. Once we've beaten Switzerland, of course, we can then roll on and begin to look at other states where there are also similar problems. Singapore, for example. It is beholden on the UK as well to make sure that its tax havens now become as transparent as we're demanding Switzerland must be. The point is, we are suddenly in a new era of negotiation, because Europe is united, United States is clear about what it wants, and automatic information exchange is becoming the international standard.
Okay, let's talk about India now. They were making quite a lot of headway against the use of tax havens and transfer pricing by multinational corporations there, depriving the country of tax revenue. They were taking on companies like Vodafone, which we've reported on before with the tax cast. Now they've decided that they're going to defer the implementation of general anti-avoidance rules until 2016. That's supposedly to reassure investors.
I think that this is an incredibly disappointing development from India, because actually what we need in any economy is a general anti-avoidance rule to provide a level playing field so that all businesses can operate on the same tax basis, so that the tax cheats don't get an advantage over those who are honest. And I'm sure there has been the most enormous amount of lobbying and pressure brought to bear here. It was time for them to put into place the rules. I just hope they get them right in the meantime and they can work from 2016 onwards.
And just to put it in context, it was really vital for other countries in the world that a country like India could lead the way in this kind of thing, posing alternatives to some of the rather ineffective OECD tax methods. What sort of reassurance does it give to investors that they've deferred these general anti-avoidance rules?
Unfortunately, the message that India has put out is a very clear and simple one, which is that actually they're still open to tax abuse. That is the problem. It is the problem with the UK's anti-abuse rule. We can't even get as far as calling ours an anti-avoidance rule. And that is that whatever is going to be put in place is only going to look at the most extreme examples of abuse. It's not going to look at general anti-avoidance. And therefore, companies that want to structure their affairs into India via tax havens are going to continue to be able to do so and will therefore be able to strip profit out without paying the right amount in India. And that's all the wrong messages to send, because it says tax competition is, I'm afraid, alive and well in India. There is no attempt to close down the tax haven abuse from which it has suffered for so long. And this might still be the case in 2016. All of those messages are deeply unfortunate for the Indian economy.
That's economist and accountant Richard Murphy. He'll be back next month. Now it's time for the TaxCast special feature. Google's hit the headlines for avoiding about $2 billion worth of taxes worldwide. That's just in one year. And the company's got nearly $10 billion stashed away in the no-tax jurisdiction of Bermuda. Well, that's capitalism, according to Google boss Eric Schmidt, and he's proud of it. Fellow tax avoiders like Starbucks and Amazon would no doubt privately agree with him. But is his version of capitalism the only one?
What he was articulating there was an extreme and, frankly, a very unpleasant type of capitalism.
John Christensen of the Tax Justice Network.
A kind of capitalism which is ruthlessly exploitative, ruthlessly anti-competitive, because let's face it, they are trampling over their competitors who are prepared to pay tax and do pay tax. So this is one form of capitalism. Frankly, it's the kind of capitalism that we need to protect societies from.
Capitalism does involve getting ahead of your competitors, but there are certain limits to what should be allowed within that system. Otherwise, anything goes. I mean, it's piracy, capitalism, robbery, capitalism. Where do you draw the line?
Richard Allen closed his business down after 16 years. His competitors were undercutting him because they moved offshore to avoid tax.
What people don't understand, particularly consumers, is that it's possible to be cheaper than somebody by avoiding tax. Retailers like Amazon are quite often cheaper because they're factoring in their tax avoidance into the pricing. Once that starts happening, then it's a vicious circle in that smaller retailers get pushed out because they can't avoid tax, and the larger ones just get bigger and bigger. That's cheating. As soon as you've got one company dominating the marketplace, then you get all the other obnoxious practices that come in with it, such as bullying suppliers, manipulating the market. That needs to be addressed.
And once those larger companies dominate, pricing becomes whatever they say it is. Here's some examples of the sort of tactics too-big-to-pay tax corporations like Amazon are using, described here by Lord Lucas in the UK's House of Lords.
Something has to be done about it. Amazon, 7 billion of sales, no corporation tax. This is just taking the mick. If you sell through Amazon Marketplace, you are not allowed to sell anywhere else in the world for a lower price than you sell on Amazon. And they appear to be allowed to do that. There doesn't appear to be any thought of a reference to the Competition Commission. They encourage people who are using their marketplace to evade VAT. They were extremely slow in complying with regulations to produce information as to who you are actually buying from on their marketplace, they are still not satisfactory on that. To have these major corporations destroying jobs, destroying tax-paying businesses, and paying no tax themselves, absolutely will not do.
John Christensen again.
The public generally recognises that competition between businesses is a good thing, but that is competition around the quality of goods and services they provide and around the prices they provide them at. Large companies are able to make much more effective use of tax avoidance structures. If nothing else, they can afford to use more expensive lawyers. They're also, if they're multinational, able to use tax havens in ways that small and medium enterprises aren't able to use. So immediately you have distortions around who can benefit from tax avoidance, which acts against consumer interest, works against consumer choice. Large companies must pay on exactly the same basis as small companies. This is the nature of proper, fair market competition.
Okay, what does the state do for a big organisation like Starbucks or Amazon or Google?
The state actually provides the legal systems within which they operate, and we're protecting their legal values and the intellectual property rights, which they claim are at the core of the value they provide to society. But of course, the state provides much, much more. The state provides all of the infrastructure, provides the healthy workforces, provides all the education. No company can claim they're simply employing labour and training this labour force from scratch. They require educated people to begin with. So I think it's time that companies were prepared to recognise that they have access to very, very sophisticated services provided collectively through the state, and they couldn't operate without them.
Now, many big businesses would have you believe they must play every tax-avoiding trick in the book, or they can't possibly make a profit. But here's a recent television news interview on Channel 4 in the UK with the boss of supermarket chain Sainsbury's that might surprise you.
We pay our tax in the UK. I think, by last count, we were the 12th biggest taxpayer in the UK, so we're proud of our tax-paying record. Corporation tax for international corporations is an elective tax. They can choose to pay tax pretty much wherever they wish in the world. I think it's now for consumers to ask tough questions of the businesses that they give their custom about where they choose to pay corporation tax. And corporation tax is a way we invest back in the community of which we're part, the country of which we're part. And I think companies that wish to trade here enjoy the benefits of our consumers, the investments in our infrastructure, our safety and so on, should answer for themselves about whether they're contributing properly to our society.
OK, so supermarket chains like this one would hardly win any prizes for ethical brand of the year. And unlike Google, Sainsbury's isn't currently a multinational corporation. But when a brand like this sees the potential for some positive PR by talking about tax and transparency, something's got to be changing. John Christensen again.
I think the current version of capitalism, which is based around a highly liberal model, that is a model without regulation and with the minimal state, has led to an astonishing acceleration of inequality across the world. If capitalism is to re-establish itself as a force that serves the public good, it must reverse out of these incredibly aggressive, anti-democratic and anti-state tax avoidance techniques that they use. It must recognise that they enjoy the benefits provided by the state, provided by the public, and it must recognise that paying tax is part and parcel of their duty. They are part of what's called the social contract. They have a duty to work within that social contract, and capitalism cannot survive unless it's prepared to re-engage effectively with the social contract, which means paying tax when it's due, where it's due, and in the amount it's due.
But the tax avoidance industry is alive and well like never before. If you look at the UK and the US, corporate tax is dropping fast. At the same time, their profits are rising. Yep, even in these times of austerity. So our governments have a choice. Make us pay by cutting our public services, or make corporations pay their proper taxes. And here's the last word from supermarket boss Justin King.
If companies believe what they're doing is moral, they should be very happy to lay bare what it is they're doing and open it to consumer scrutiny. And of course, if they really believe what they're doing is in the interests of their consumers, they shouldn't have any difficulty answering those questions, should they? The vote that you make with your wallet will move the decision-making of corporations much quicker than governments will ever be able to do.
Information on how to solve tax avoidance, go to www.tackletaxhavens.com. You've been listening to the Taxcast. We'll have more news and analysis next month.